Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Yes, this is Billy Parnell, honoring the wonderful public once again with my thoughts and goings on of today and forever, however you want to put it together. Either way, it's Bunton time. Some of you will understand that. Of course, most of you won't. But the thing is, sometimes what you don't know won't hurt you. But tonight's topic is actually growing up in Bunton. And as I was putting this together and I was telling different people what the show was going to be about tonight, of course, a few people that wasn't from the Metroplex, was not from the Dallas area, first thing out of their mouth, what is Bunton? And I tell them, Bunton is like your uncle in the back room that watches TV and no one ever knows about that. They just hear about. So, and Bunton was even quieter than that. It was a well-designed area many, many years ago, so that people that wanted to have fun and a good time could go to South Dallas and not worry about being seen about people they were hiding from. Well, it was a real safe area, but the rumor mill had it, as I used to tell people all the time, a lot of people dropped salt on it because they didn't want their friends to come to Bunton. Or they didn't want their family members to come to Bunton to catch them or see them doing what they didn't need to be doing. Some of y'all will catch that in a minute, Bunton talk. But so basically, Bunton was an area of Dallas that was supposedly bad and rough, and you couldn't get anything done. The best flute player in the world comes from Bunton, you know. One of the best saxophone players in the world came from Bunton. A couple of the best football players ever that got killed early in the game and stuff like that. A guy by the name of Stone Johnson. And on and on and on. You can just keep naming folk that came from Bunton, but you know, on the paperwork it just says Dallas. Well, that's kind of a big disclaimer for residents that came from Bunton that's proud of their Bunton heritage, like myself. Because we had to deal with, once you tell people, they ask, where you from? Oh, I'm from Bunton, you know. They would, their eyes would light up, and, you know, young girls would say, a thug. Whether you were a minister, a preacher, or whatever, you had the marker or the moniker as, if you were from Bunton, you was a thug, a crook, a criminal, and all of that rolled into one. Wasn't true. But, you know, that was the hype back then. It was very close to one of the other and first most highly sought after area of right near downtown Dallas, the Forest Avenue and Oakland Avenue intersection was like the center of Dallas. I mean, that's where all of the money was. The Zales, jewelers people and the Neiman Marcus's and stuff like that stayed, which was, in fact, in walking distance of Guantan. Might have been a long walk, but, you know, in today's age, what, 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
So that was what we was up against, and that was what we endured coming up, because if you was from Bantan, you were supposedly tough, you were supposedly a crook or a criminal, and you were supposedly a thug. So some liked it, some didn't. Just some didn't hurt their identity whatsoever. And to most, it didn't mean a thing once you got up and just like moving out of a little country town or whatever and going into the big city of Dallas, where you still wasn't wanted, you still wasn't liked and whatever. So it was just a training ground. These some of the greatest people, some of the greatest people in the world, and on and on and on. So that's what we were up against. That's what we liked. And it worked for a lot of us. So that's a little bit about Bantan. But now let's hear about some of the people that was from Bantan. Pretty soon we're going to be getting some callers in here, because I'm pretty sure I've already stepped on a few toes by saying Bantan, if you was from Bantan, you were thought up as a thug and whatever. And, well, you know, it's a true fact. You know, so if you got something against it, some of you listeners, you know what I'm saying is that, we were at the mercy of some of everything, you know, by having a lot of different people look at you differently. You know, some would say, oh, he's from Bantan, he is a thug. And when you tried to help him denounce your not being a thug and everything, it ended up, you might have had to beat somebody up. Either way, you still considered a thug. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So that was the upbringing that most of us had from the outside. From the inside, it was family. And when you got to where you had problems with someone else, be it from anywhere on the outside, if it was a squadron of Bantan people there, you had an army on your side. Regardless of who you was, regardless if you couldn't fight a lick, regardless if you didn't talk back or whatever, you still had an arm because of the loyalty, the dependability. All it had to be was Bantan. And it was Bantan against the world. And so it really taught us a lot about the facts of life, which was it's great to be a good Samaritan, but it's even greater when it's your brother or sister, and whether you like it or not, if they was from Bantan, that was your brother or sister. And so it
it pitted a lot of different personalities against against the world, because you know, some people, after being called things for so long, decided to fall into that habit of, well, if they think that's what I am, that's what I'm going to be. And that's when things got rough, because the dependability and the loyalty was still there. Even if they were wrong, you still sided with it. With Bunton. And Bunton usually won. There's going to be some people from West Dallas, North Dallas, you know, that's like Booger T and Pinkston. Pinkston really wasn't in the real, you know, they were like a Madison. Pinkston, it was when the people from West Dallas was actually growing up back in my time, which was the 50s and the 60s. There was a Madison, was the high school of, not of choice, but the high school that designated for them to attend. And they think busing is bad now. Try to bus 9,000 people to a 4,000 school campus, and it's already inhabited with 18,000 people, and wow, you know, you can foresee the problems coming and everything else. But it was still same old, same old. If you were from Bunton, you was with family. If it was 1, 2, or 10, regardless, win, lose, or draw. You know, if it was one other person there from Bunton, you know you had an army. You know. But saying all of that, it was also like if you graduated from Bunton University, you could actually get outside in the new universe. It was just like going to Mars or somewhere. You'd been denied so many places to go and other things when you were younger, and it became like a new adventure, trying to get through the maze of, well, when I was younger, I couldn't go there, I couldn't go there, I couldn't go there. Now, where do I want to go? And that's when the universe found out about Bunton. Ooh, they're not all thugs, are they? They can do almost anything. Well, you know, fact of the matter is, when you were raised in Bunton, I'm going to call it BT for short. if you can make it in Bunton, you can make it anywhere. So, regardless of whether you finish your school years at Madison or Lincoln, or maybe even Booker T, it was going to be a journey. And just so happens, I happened to be friends with different people at all of the schools, because I wasn't busy going to Lincoln like I was started or supposed to be. I had friends in like every corner of the universe.
So I traveled around and found that there were quite a few differences of opinions about Bantan people. Most of them was of the same mindset. There ain't nothing but thugs and gangsters. But a lot of them were saying, but if you give them a chance, they can do the job or they can do the work. And life went on. But at that time, and not just me in particular or specifically either one, was there questions about whether or not you could do the job or you could do this or you could do that. The thing was with you. Because, you know, sometimes the work was so subjective. And I say that lightly because one of my first jobs was picking cotton. So, again, I say it wasn't that if you couldn't or wouldn't, I mean, couldn't do the job, or you, were you big enough, were you able, could you walk that floor all day long? Those were one of the questions. The question was, would you? You know, because I'm not sure. You know, some things you let get out of your mind real quick. And some things like, how much were we actually making a day? A dollar? 75 cents? I'm really not sure. Like I said, I was quite young. So that wasn't, the question was, would you? Oh, you're a little young, boy. I don't think I need you on the truck. You stay at home. That kind of stuff. But in a lot of different other areas, you were considered old enough to work if you could walk. Because all they needed was, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, all that. But to stay kind of consistent with the first topic of being from Bantan and growing up in Bantan, after you got most of that, got past most of that, you then had to go through the level of, after you come to the universe, what do I do now? Well, in the, I'd say mid-60s, it was a pretty devastating war going on. So people were saying, well, I think I'll go to the Army. Because if you go to the Army, you can come back, you can go to school, you can, and it was kind of unheard of for young boys here to be saying, I think I'll go to the Army. And then they got to understanding that this might be that step we need. You know? And then certain other people got to complaining. Well, that's not my war. And the guys from Bantan said, but shit, we've been in wars all our life. So a lot of them went to service and come back. And a lot of truth came behind it because some of them were able to get great jobs after learning how to drive trucks in the service. And how to do wiring and different stuff, you know, that at first wasn't even allowed. You know, you could only work in the kitchen and do whatever. I mean, a lot of this is going on hearsay, But back then, you wanted to find out a little bit about everything because not knowing anything or the proper thing to be to say at that time was would put you at a great disadvantage. So you tried to stay in the know of everything. That's the knowledge, if you know what I'm talking about. And once you came in, if you were the big brother or the older guy in your little group or whatever, you would teach some of the things that you learned and that you were taught in the service. All about driving trucks or whatever, all about wiring different things up and, you know, taking care of business. And so actually what you would be doing is passing along that knowledge that you were taught, you know, even going into the, it's a battle. But the question mark was, were you learning anything in there that was useful to you when you came home? And that's what they was trying to solidify, at least the guys from Bunton, because they made sure that most of the information that they learned about, they passed it along to somebody, you know. Anybody that would ask, you know, man, what did you do? And I drove a truck. Can you show me how it was? Or whatever, whatever. Well, see, that's just like a big brother taking care of a little brother. And so it happened. It happened. And dudes started passing it along. We used to call it learn, use, and teach. Learn, use, and teach. And so it was a lot differences coming out of Bunton than other people gave credit for, because they never knew that it was guys down there could have turned around and been school teachers and whatever. But the opportunities that had presented themselves to them when they decided to do something for themselves, like go to the Army. If I go to the Army, I get out, you know, I can get a better job. I can go to college. I can blah, blah, blah. And actually, when they got out, they were better at training some of the guys out here how to be better people than they ever would have thought of. And so, like I said, learn, use, and teach. And it helped a lot. I got a call, so let me answer this. She's been in the room for 30 seconds. You got Billy. Ask Uncle Billy. Who am I speaking with?
This is Carol Alford. I'm calling from Houston. I have a question.
Hello, Miss Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderfully well. Wonderfully well. And you have reached the Ask Uncle Billy part. You got questions. I got answers. What do you want to know?
Okay. I want to ask about the Bunton area in Dallas. I lived in Dallas for 7 years, but I had never heard of it before. Could you tell me something about it?
Well, Bunton in Dallas is, as I was saying earlier on the show, the topic is growing up in Bunton. Bunton was a set-off area that was like in the southern sector of Bunton that was surrounded by water, flooded every year, 20 times a year, and it was like an area that no one else really wanted to stay. It had been old farms back in the day, back in the way day, old farms and cotton land and pecan groves and stuff like that. So it seemed like a great place for some projects. So they put a couple of projects down on this land that used to be, like I said, cotton fields and farms and pecan farms. I know a lot of people don't
don't understand pecan farms. Just a lot of trees tow up the ground, tear up the ground. Still got roots there that's been there for hundreds of years. And so that almost like unused land. So they put some projects, they put some projects down there, and so that they could part off all sections of Dallas. Back in the day, they had certain areas. They had Ideal Neighborhood. They had Lincoln. That's where Old Lincoln was first built, Old Lincoln High School. They had, you know, all kinds of little places. So this little corner off in the dark in the back that didn't nobody really like, and they were trying to find use for where they put the projects, they called it Bon-Ton. That's where the people that needed housing assistance, they come from different parts of the country and different cities in Texas and whatever. Like my mom came from Paris, Texas. My daddy came from Mississippi. And so when they married, it wasn't a lot of great housing here at that time. So my mother moved to Bon-Ton. Housing projects, you know, great place. But and so Bon-Ton was set up as a, and I like to call it like that because it was at first, as a dumping ground for po-fo. But you know, as our forefathers did and others before them, things got better. But the name didn't get any better. The name got a little worse because people started enjoying being in Bon-Ton. Where you going tonight? Where you going? Oh, I'm going down to Bon-Ton. Well, you know it's bad down there. They kill folk and, you know, stuff like, so the bad name started and all of that. Now, it's one of the richest parts of the city that no one knows about.
Okay.
If in fact, the next movement, Dallas can't go any further north and still be Dallas in Dallas County than they are now. So the next movement has to be south. That's the reason I say it's the most expensive part of Dallas left. It's a lot of wide open spaces because of, it's just wide open land, you know. Nothing that's on it. They have plans for it in the future, but that's another 15 or 20 years down the road. So whoever acquires that land in 15 or 20 years is going to be filthy rich. And that's just from me to all the real estate people that's out there, because they're buying land in the southern sector of Dallas now undercover. Ooh, that's the first time I've been able to say that to somebody in public. And it feels good. So, you know, all kinds of people have been sitting on land for, ever so long. If you asked about a piece of property over here in the southern sector of Dallas, first thing you're going to get is it's already owned. If you ride through South Dallas just before you get to Bon-Ton, you'll see every corner lot. I'm giving you a little history of why they call it Bon-Ton and all of that now. So, where the Neiman Marcus is and the Zales jewelry store people used to own property at, up in an area called South Dallas, right outside of downtown Dallas. Great area, great old homes, old residences. People are still buying land in that area. And old houses and stuff. But every corner in that section, if you ride from, now it's called Malcolm X, down to a street called Hatcher, it's like a straight shot. Every corner is already bought up, paid for from, I bet you, over 50 years ago. Every corner lot, and probably won't be sold until, I'd say, the year 2030, and that's when the big movement probably started in this area in 2020. But you know, it's a good rich area.
Oh, okay.
I rode through South Dallas today, and it amazed me. And I hadn't been in the area in a few weeks. I mean, weeks. That's how fast it's changing.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and people are trying to, you know, buy up as much as they can, as often as they can, not understanding, and because it's, like I said, a growing area to some that's looking at it and seeing the changes, but they still really don't understand how important that property is in South Dallas, and soon to be Bun-Ton. when they get Bun-Ton and see all of those open lots that 10 years ago wasn't but $100. Well,
and
I said, that 15, yeah, they used to have lots of that. 15 years ago, maybe, yeah, you know, 15, 18 years ago, just as I was fixing to become a real estate tycoon, I got sick. But the property was so low that you could ride around and look at property and say, well, no, I really don't want that one. That's not on the corner. But you couldn't be out the corner lots anyhow. But but they had open lots almost everywhere. People that was giving up their old houses or dying, didn't have no heirs, didn't have nobody to leave it to, and the county was selling it for a little bit of nothing. Just taxes and stuff like that.
Mm.
So an aspiring real estate person could come to Dallas if they had a little savings and clean up.
Wow.
You know, it might take them another 8-10 years before it starts paying off. But, you know, to me, and just this is just me, I don't really talk about money and finances because I don't have either. So, but it would be a great buy for somebody with a little bit of money, savings or whatever, that could sit on it, get some of that property down there, because it's gonna turn over. Like I said, 8-10 years, be able to turn your money back into a whole lot of money. But that being said, so that's kind of like, sort of like the history of Bun-Ton. We were all looking for a place to go. That was the only place, only direction that they could put us in at that time. It was kind of like a rush area. Like, what we gonna do with all of these folk? And so they decided to put them in South Dallas down there past where the rich people used to stay. And all we have to do is keep them quiet. So that's what they did. And so Bun-Ton was started. And the long history of it, from 1950, when white flight started up on Forest. Well, it was before that they started. It just took them a little time because that was a great area, you know. They had one of the best schools. They had Forest Avenue School, which is famous in Texas, in Dallas, probably in the entire United States for some of its graduates, you know. Mayors and governors and stuff went to Forest Avenue High, which was an all-white school. It's now called Madison High School. And so, you know, once we got the area up there, we had bowling alleys, we had stores, and then we had the thing called Black Flight. All of the doctors and the lawyers and the police officers and stuff
got out of there, moved from South Dallas, where they had made their livings, grew the kids up, sent them off to college, and they decided they wanted to assimilate. And so South Dallas was then deemed a, not a mistake, but a loss until we can get it back, until, you know, year 2025, something like that, we'll own it again. We'll own it all. And so until then, they've been in space out there since South Dallas. I hope that that gave you some tidbit of information of how it I really did. Feel about it.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, I love Dallas. I've been places other than that, and people say, well, you talk like you don't like that. I like Dallas, but I love Bundtown. And the way it's been handled and done in the past was kind of wrong, but, you know, it's time to start making it right. So that's why I'm on air right now. Starting to fight back, and hopefully by the time I finish fighting back in 50 years, I would have accomplished something. So that's what it's all about. Start the fight and try to stay here till it's over.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me information on it. I appreciate it.
Well, I thank you for asking, because it gave me a chance to vent and tell the world about Bundtown being the most realistic place to buy land and grow in the world. So thank you, too. And feel free to call in. I'm on the air from Mondays from 6 to 8. Tonight was a special because some people wanted to know why I was doing a show like Growing Up in Bundtown. It was because not enough people are aware that it's there. And it's a shame that that type of history is being wiped out.
So I'm keeping
it alive. So I really thank you, and I appreciate your call and to ask that question so that I could expound a little more about Bundtown. And there will be a reunion next year in June, for the Juneteenth week, that will be celebrated by most of the Bundtown people that's here, and hopefully some of them that's come from different other parts of the country and whatever, and I hope you can be there.
Okay, I'll try.
All right, Houston.
All right.
Let's stay in touch. Keep listening.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh, that was great. I shot a long distance call at that. And I'm ready to keep it going. So, we'll take a station break for identification. But remember, Bundtown is still listening. Bundtown is waiting for a resurrection. And I've been told a couple of things that, we got some new city council people that's going to make a difference. Now, I don't like to quote hearsay, but I ought to wait and see how strong these people are that's doing this talking before I say this. But I think it is going to be a great resurrection, because we got the people that's willing and wanting to have public hearings and meetings about all this going on, and with DART, I was telling some kids, well, I'm telling my age in a minute, I was telling some folk just the other day that back when we were growing up, you know, usually we get together, all we talk about is medicine and pills we're taking. But I was telling some folk just the other day that, you know, when we were growing up, we would protect the bus drivers. We had a nice bus driver that used to look out for us, and, you know, certain kids he would look out for, and, you know, didn't want us fighting against each other and stuff, and he would get on this bus, you know, and look out for us. And then at the same time, when we'd get back close to Bonton, we'd have to start protecting him. So we created a great relationship with bus drivers. We created great relationship with every, just like I said, just about everybody, because it was Bonton against the world. So we had to get on the buses at night to protect our moms, our aunties, our sisters, and whatever else. I don't think I see kids. Well, I don't ride the public bus, but I wonder. I'm gonna get on it one day, and I'm gonna ask some of these young dudes. Wish they could do a public hearing down in South Dallas. I'd like to keep saying Bonton, but there's only a couple of places that we could probably have a public hearing down there that would be good enough to hold the crowd that would show up. Because I think the notion is we don't attend public hearings or something. I don't know. But I'm going to ask and I'm going to try to find out, because if we find that these young guys aren't doing the riding and protecting their mom, their mothers and sisters and stuff down there, it's been a big change. It wouldn't surprise me with the way things have changed on a regular basis. But what I'd like to try and find out is, you know, because the Lord don't even help them that don't help themselves. So I think, and all of this supposed to be fighting and going on buses and stuff. No. See, one guy getting pushed off the bus because he ain't in a clique or something like, no. See, the community got to stand back up and do something. You know what I'm saying? So what we going to have to do is stop getting these fake and shaking meetings. You give a meeting, but you give it downtown Dallas where folk really can't get to it. That's just like the voting booth. You know, you want us to vote, but you put the voting booth in Arlington, no buses and stuff like that, you know. Oh, I understand they're going to get some buses in Arlington for a change. I ain't got nothing against Arlington. I'm just making a statement. They need to have buses everywhere. I don't care, but don't want somebody ride buses in that town or whatever. They need to have buses that go there. Say, for instance, like all over Mesquite, all over Box Springs, all over Seagoville, you know, even the cowboy towns, you know, like Seagoville and stuff. They need to have buses go to some part of it so that everybody can ride buses, be it the paratransit or whatever. That's what I'll do. I will call and ask for a public hearing. Well, where can you give it? I don't know, but we'll find out. This is the Ask Uncle Billy show. So mine ain't to know everything, but if you ask me the question, we'll find out. Let's do that. And also with the police department, because, hey, they are being so proactive about doing the right thing. And honestly, I think they're bending it over backwards. I believe that I worked with Pal when I was younger. I was like a neighborhood organizer. Yes, I was all of that, and a bag of chips. I was vice president of the Residence Council of Turner Courts. And yes, I was an advocate, and I got things done. I was like the Johnny Cochran before it was a Johnny Cochran. And it really behooved us to get to know the officers that was in our area, the officers that was going up to the different schools and stuff. And it turned out that we were a group of people that I guess we were looking for a change. We was trying to provide time for a change and everything else, because we understood that it was all about the children. It's all about the ones coming up behind us. It's all about the ones that's being able, oh, I'm on my soapbox now. Oh. So what I'd like to do is, it's kind of remind the folk of what others went through to get them, you know. I don't know, to get them to understand that, yeah, it's time for them to start fighting. Somebody, you know, if we, the old people got to get out the way and let the young people do the fighting, because we just can't keep it up. So. Oh. Am I still on? Well, I'm gonna act like it. Okay. Yeah, so let's just do what we can, when we can, while we can. Because until we get into the game, the community, what I'm talking about, we're going to be on everybody else's schedule. We have to get in and make sure that our kids learn that they can do better. They can assist in making things better. But we have to stop trying to get in our fears and stuff too now, because we scared to swim. We don't let them go to the swimming pool. Because we scared of mountains, we don't let them go mountain climbing. Because we scared of dogs. I am too. We don't get them no puppies. We got to stop giving kids and stuff our fears. I don't care what you call it. But sometimes the pass along effect don't work. So what we got to do is put them kids in a better reference of mind to say that, yes, we can do it, and we'll say it in a minute. Can you do this for me? Sometimes you got to get up off your own butt. And I know y'all hear me. Y'all probably won't call in on nothing because you don't like it. But I'm just here to tell you that until you get up and get into the game, just like if you don't, I think I said this last week. If you don't vote, you cannot talk to me about who's president. You cannot talk to me about who's mayor. You cannot talk to me about anything political. If you don't vote, you can't talk to me about nothing political. I'm just here to tell you. And it's getting to be that same way about life. Because people have asked me, say, man, did you see on the news that so-and-so going to do so-and-so? And, well, ain't you having that same problem? Yeah, well, but what is you doing? Why are you talking like it's just him? Are you such a good Samaritan that you can see him in a fight? And because it's not on your foot right now, the rock ain't touching you, you ain't gonna worry about it, but soon as that rock get on your toe, you gonna be the one that's crying out for help and everything else when you could be helping him. You know, get the rock off his toe. I know that's gonna wake you up in the morning. What was that? And I can't use the N word. What was he talking about? He was talking about the rock being on somebody else's foot and it's not affecting you, and you still won't get into the fight because it's not hurting you. But soon as the rock get on your foot or on your back or on your head, on your neck, you want everybody to come help you. You'd be calling on the president, the police, and everybody else. And you don't vote. You don't say good job, officers, or nothing else. But then still, you want everybody's help. So help get the rock off of somebody else. I'm pretty sure when you walk out the house, you see all them rocks. You just you put on them blinders and go on about your damn business. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm off of Bunton for a minute right now. I'm on the folk. Folk that not doing what they supposed to do. Folk that's got dog me whining about what's going on. Well, last week you was whining about the neighbor's dog, and come to find out, your brother had to leave his dog over your house, and it's your dog doing all the hollering now, and you talking about, what can I do? Call your brother. Get that dog out your house. Yeah. But no, that ain't what you wanted. I listen to it. That's my brother's dog. It's the same thing about everything else that you condone, that you let happen because it's family or friends. Oh, that's the neighbor's boy. He'll be all right. He ain't going to be all right if he's wrong. And I know you hear me. All of you. Yeah. I don't know whether you want a badge or a chest to put it on, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not doing your share to win, you don't never fire, partner. You won't lose. And I don't have a losing bone in my body. Yeah, I said that. If I lose today, I hope for some weight. No, I really don't want to lose no weight. Don't get me burnt. Don't get me burnt wrong either. I just have a true diligence for winning. I like winning, regardless of what it is. Checkers, dominoes, marbles. Kitchen line. Ooh, I did that a lot when I was young. And just about everything else. You know, anybody don't like winning is a born loser, I guess. I don't know. I hate to put that kind of mind on their back, but, you know, if you like losing, I can't help you too much. Don't sit down at the domino table with me. Oh, I done peeped my game. Y'all will catch that tomorrow. So, to put a little more on the table about Bunton, is to allow you all to know a little bit more about me. I dropped out of high school. I had to say that real quick. In 1963, I think if you listen to the way I talk, you'll know when and what date. Yeah, it's all of that mixed together. Because I didn't see opportunity or anything else after that date for a long while. All I saw was what everybody was saying, and I was a young guy. But, I didn't see opportunity. At that time, opportunity didn't exist for me. It just shattered my dreams. So I'm saying it's put to where most people understand what I'm talking about, because it was the worst event to happen in the last decade. Oh, longer than that. God, can I count? Last 100 years. Ain't nothing been as worse as that in over maybe 200, closer to. But anyhow, so I went back to school when I was 30, right at it. And all been uphill since then. I had a few trials and tribulations, we'll call them. But, you know, anything that don't kill you make you stronger. And so the heritage of being from Bonton pushed me on a little greater and further. So I'm introducing myself to the Dallas community again, so that you'll know that if you call in to the Ask Uncle Billy show, you will have a friend. You can call in anytime, and like the lady from Houston did, just ask the question. If we don't know, we'll find out. So give me a call, 323-870-3963. I didn't put the one in front of it, so I'm going to take it back. 1-323-870-3963. Call in. Let's talk. Because I'm on a roll now. I've told you a little bit about myself, not being a graduated of Lincoln High School, but I went there a couple of years, had fun, met some of the greatest people that had a great impression on my life. I'm pretty sure most of them Lincolnites and most of them non-Lincolnites, anybody that was a constable in the city of Dallas, Dallas County, and whatever, knew Joe Bagby. Joe Bagby was the greatest study hall teacher in the world, and he just happened to be at Lincoln High School when I got there. And he had a big shaking of my life. So did another angel, Chief Don Stafford. Wherever you are, Chief, thank you, thank you, thank you. Chief Don Stafford gave me another man to look up to outside of my brother. My brother, who's deceased now, was the epitome of a big brother. From day one, he was my champion. and everything I do, he was a guy with a giving heart. Everything I do, everything I say, emulates him in so many ways. That he was my Martin Luther King before Martin Luther King. And I think some of you with older brothers and older family members and good tutors and whatever understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So, and to take it even further, like I said, Joe Bagman, Don Stafford, my brother, his name was John Wade. It just goes on and on. The people that you meet in life that other people discredit, and you can always think of something good or great about them. And you get off sometimes to yourself, and you be wondering, why they talk about him like that behind his back? Or why they doing that, you know? And then you realize it's all hype. One of my great friends, her name is Cheryl Smith. She introduced me to that phrase. Don't believe the hype. Billy, it's all hype. And that's what I'm here to change. She would say that. So we got to get back to sharing and caring. The facts, the honesty, the loyalty. We got to get back to all of that. You know, if you don't believe in something, you'll die from anything. You know, you got to believe. I don't want to get on there and just preach all the time, all the whole 2 hours, but I'm just here to tell you, if you don't believe in something, that's rough. He said, well, why are you so vehement about that? Man, you would definitely think I was preaching if you knew what the trials and tribulations I done scribbled through. I got friends want me to write a book. I tell them I can't put all that bad stuff in no book. But it is just so much that, you know, you can tell about yourself without people giving up on you. You know, you get to telling them you raised up to be a crook almost. Well, I was raised up to be a player. I was raised up to be a... really wasn't raised like that, but I snuck off quite often, and I was a pool shooter with a deck of cards in my pocket, a few pair of dice in my pocket and stuff like that. I know I'm taking it personal again, but that's the life that I was brought up in until I started meeting, like I said, the Joe Bagbys, the Don Staffords, and other great people. After a tragic incident, I met a wonderful lady. I think I mentioned her name last week because she had one of the biggest whirlwind, Lord have mercy, I don't even know what to call it, lockdown. She took over the unconsciousness that I was living in and walking around in and put a conscious being inside my body. Her name was Dr. Mamie McKnight. She taught school at El Centro College. The years I was there was like 1980, 81, 82. And she took complete control of my life because when that day, I started to call that lady Merrill Lynch. Ain't that the one who, when Merrill Lynch speak, people listen? Sorry, I just used that name because I'm used to commercials and stuff. But she was one of the greatest educators, and I dropped out of school. I didn't drop out of life. I used to love listening and watching educators, you know, people that wanted to help people learn things and do things, not just in words and phrases and languages and stuff like that. I'm still a vehement fighter for education and everything like that, but education it don't just all exist in the books. You give people some of your experiences and some of your feelings and passions about certain things and some things, and it will pan out as being an educational type experience. But you know, you're really not giving it a chance if you just say, well, I can't learn that. Because you hear that from a lot of people, even if they're grown. And, you know, I really never could understand that. Because I think it's just like anything else. If you want it bad enough, you can do it. And I still say, I'm trying to look, see if I got any calls. But if I really do. I say, well, you know, back when I was coming up, if you wanted the kids to learn different languages and stuff, if you were really serious, you'd get your ass out the way and put them kids, excuse me, folks. You'd get your behind out the way and let them kids get out there and play together and fight together and roll around together. And the kids they liked, they would learn Spanish from them. And the kids they didn't like, they would learn English from. So they love what they talking about, what they saying, you know. But if you keep them separated and in denial of their own cultures and stuff, that's a divide and conquer theory. I thought we was past that. This year, 2015, finna be 16. So let's kind of get past that. I got a couple of things coming up. I signed some contracts with some friends that I can depend on. Oh, Patrick Washington at the Dallas Weekly, Shane Hefner at DallasBlack.com, and you know, I just want to be able to help. They got some great ideas. They got things going on. Things have changed, and there's going to be a few more sign-ups in the next few weeks. And I think the city and the county and the state will be happy. We don't have a lot of problems, those other cities, states, and counties in the United States is having. I ain't saying we all special in Texas. Not everybody ain't like Bonton. But what I am saying is that I think we make a concerted effort not to be followers. And by doing that, we make some pretty god-dog-me good leaders. So we have to continue to put forth our best foot forward and do what we have to do to articulate and administrate some changes, some proactive type changes, because in the old saying of Rodney King, can't we all just get along? It's been proven, damn it, that we can. But now, we political season is coming up. That segregates us even further. That's a shame. I'm just bouncing from subject to subject because I know we are better than what we're showing. I got to put an article in the paper real soon. I think I'll find it right after this session tonight. And what I'll do is, I've been talking with this young lady that's, for lack of a better title, she told me she was the woman with the questions on the street or something. Because she said, she's getting more questions than I am, and I'm on radio. I said, what? She said, yeah, they talking to me about some of everything. I said, well, maybe you need to be on my show. So let's try and please just call in, ask the questions. We'll get together and we'll find the person that can answer them. If I can't answer them, and I keep firing back. I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but we don't need that when we got professionals out there that can answer your question, as long as it's not a personal question, and especially about other things. I don't talk about money, and I don't talk about other men and women. That means don't call me talking about Halle Berry. She belongs to somebody else. I ain't talking about my Halle Berry either. But you ask the questions, and we are going to find the right answer. And I'm not going to say just an answer. We're going to find the right answer, because I want to know too. So with that being said, we have to take a station break for identification. Let me see what's going on, because I know I should be getting another call by now. So let me put you on hold, and I'll be right back.